Hi, and welcome to Jolly's Fall 2021 podcast series. This is Olumide Ajayi, the conference chair of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, a peer-reviewed open access journal housed in the Department of Language and Literacy Education at the University of Georgia. Today, I will be speaking with Dr. Katia Champa, who is an Associate Professor of Literacy Education at Widener University, and Dr. Rosemary Jangia Mannion, an Assistant Professor at the College of Education and Social Work at Westchester University of Pennsylvania. Their manuscript is titled Teaching and Accessing Early Literacy During COVID-19 and Beyond. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to hearing more about your work. I have a couple of questions here for you, and your manuscript, I read it, and obviously it was about the big reason was COVID. But are there any specific reasons why you undertook this study?
So we're both teacher educators, and we both work at the undergraduate and graduate level. So at the time, we had undergraduate students that were completing field placements, and they had to do this remotely. And then with, you know, our graduate students who are mostly K-12 teachers, they were experiencing similar issues. You know, when we were checking in with our students, we were hearing the same thing over and over again, that they were overwhelmed. And we found that there was a lack of professional development and training. And so we were hearing that, you know, a lot of the training that they were receiving were technocentric, and, you know, that's not what we teach our students. And so we really wanted to not only support the students that we were working with and at the time, but we wanted to expand it to a broader audience and support as many teachers as we could in the area. So in August of 2020, Widener University hosted a virtual literacy conference. It was done via Zoom. And we invited our current students, who were mostly the undergraduate students in literacy education, but also those that were interested in or already enrolled in our advanced certification program. So they could have been reading specialists or literacy coaches, completing their master's of reading education or cognitive studies in reading. So they were getting their doctorate. So we had a wide range of attendees. And before we held the conference, we wanted to make sure that this workshop was going to be responsive to their needs. And so we administered that pre-workshop needs assessment to all of the attendees, and there were over 300 attendees, as we stated. Over half of them were primary educators. And so we wanted to really tailor our workshop sessions and topics to suit those needs. And so we were offering a lot of different strategies for literacy instruction and assessment. We wanted to really see what were their current challenges and what do they foresee as future challenges if they continue to teach remotely or literacy remotely and assessing students remotely. So we held that conference, and, you know, the findings and the impact of that conference is beyond the scope of this study. We actually wrote another manuscript that looks at, you know, how did this workshop impact their instructional and assessment practices. But the focus of this study is really on what do they need from us and how can we support those needs.
All right. Thank you for that exposition. One of the things that stuck at me was the theoretical framework you adopted for this study. It literally run through all the discussion you did. So I want you to talk more about that. Can you describe your theoretical frameworks, especially the differences or relationship between the first domain, technological context and knowledge, and the second domain, the technological, pedagogical and knowledge?
Sure. So we grounded our research in the TPAC framework, which was created by Mishra and Kohler in 2006. And this framework looks at the technological knowledge, the pedagogical knowledge, and the content knowledge necessary for effective technology integration. And so they break that down into separate pieces. So the technological content knowledge for us in this study was content. The content was literacy. So things like phonics assessment, comprehension. So this domain looks at how content can be changed through the application of technology. And the TPK, the technological pedagogical knowledge, looks at how teaching pedagogy might change as a result of using technology. So we were looking at those pieces, and what we found through our survey was that teachers had the content knowledge, they had the pedagogical knowledge, they had the technology knowledge, but what they really needed was support in the interplay between all of those pieces. And that's what this framework focuses on. How do I take all of those pieces, what I know about effective literacy instruction, what I know about effective pedagogy, the technology tools that I know, and how do I weave those in emergency remote instructional setting. So that's what we really focused on, is how to blend all of those pieces and feel prepared going into their upcoming school year, which was for most of them going to continue in some type of a remote model or perhaps a hybrid model. Their survey showed that, as Dr. Ciampa mentioned, most of their support prior to that had been technocentric, most of their professional development. So they were learning how to learning different learning management systems, but not how to use those to teach. So again, we wanted to make sure we were supporting participants in how they could see the relationship between all aspects of TPAC.
Thank you for that answer. My next question addresses the concept of assessments and how you viewed assessments for emergency remote learning. And you talked about authentic assessment. I wanted to know why you talked about authentic assessment and why do you think it's more suitable for remote instruction?
We found that, you know, our attendees and our current students, you know, they were lifting the states where we are, they were lifting the standardized testing requirements. And when they were conducting these formative assessments, like running records or fluency assessments and things like that, they weren't getting the responses that they wanted from the students themselves. They were getting a lot of support from learning coaches, those that were helping them in the home. And so this had huge implications for assessment of students' literacy learning and doing it remotely. So the teachers wanted to make sure that these assessments were done with authenticity, validity and accuracy. And so with that, we were designing the workshop session so that we could give them some more ideas and examples of how they could incorporate authentic literacy assessments so that it was student-centered. So we had examples like discussion forums, digital portfolios, digital exit tickets, blogs, video recordings, voice threads, infographics. So it was a way to really allow their students multiple ways and modes to demonstrate their understanding, which goes along with 21st century literacy and those multi-literacies and making sure that they develop those skills as well. But at the same time, we're getting true results from the students themselves and nothing else.
Thank you. My next question is the big one, which is really about the findings in your study and what the study is really all about. So I want you to describe to me in details some of the technological pedagogical challenges that you felt primary grade K-3 teachers experienced while teaching and accessing literacy remotely.
So the K-3 teachers really struggled with providing differentiated literacy instruction and keeping their students engaged. Providing that small group individualized guided reading and writing instruction that they were doing in their own classrooms was really difficult, especially with working with these young students who, you know, most of them were non-readers or students with disabilities or speak a home language other than English. And then also working with families and trying to communicate those expectations to the families when there are less social cues in online teaching. So they really struggled with making sure that their students were getting their needs met, that they were able to, you know, hold those individual conferences. If you're thinking about reading and writing workshop, how can they still do that in a remote setting and still tailoring their instruction and individualizing their instruction to meet those young students' needs? keeping them engaged was very difficult, especially when they were doing synchronous instruction for a long period of time, to teach them how to read for a long period of time, to be on screen for that much time. It was really hard to keep them engaged. And, you know, we also mentioned they had a hard time finding really engaging literacy resources, anything that was done online that they could use with their students to try to recreate that tactile kinesthetic experience that they're used to doing when they're reading, you know, a hard copy in front of them, flipping the pages back and forth. Those types of physical constraints were present. And so it was really difficult with this particular group of students that really need that stimulation, that hands-on learning and sensory and interactive activities and things like that. They weren't getting that in their professional development. So they were limited in that sense. Those were some of the big challenges. And again, that's what we were trying to show them, some strategies and ways that they could do that in our workshops with them.
All right, thank you for this. And I know we don't have enough time to discuss extensively on other challenges, but thank you for taking your time to see all of that. My next question is, you talked about the idea of professional development, that these teachers needed these, and they don't just need access to all of these tools, but they also needed training on how to use some of these tools, and they didn't have enough time. So can you describe the TPAC-based virtual professional development workshop that stemmed out of your findings and its effectiveness for emergency remote instruction? And I said there that you can touch base on those findings that you saw that was beyond the scope of this study.
Sure. So what we really wanted to do is create a workshop that was responsive. I think that was the biggest word that we focused on, was responsive and also intentional. And so we took the results of this, the survey from this study, to put out an offer for proposals geared towards those specific areas that our respondents said they wanted support in. Phonics instruction, authentic assessment, assessing literacy, assessing fluency, how to support writing instruction in a virtual environment. And so from there, we picked eight different proposals. We accepted eight different proposals and created eight workshop sessions where participants were told to talk about the specific tool that they were using and how they combined all aspects of TPAC, but to also not just tell participants, but give them a chance to be interactive, to use the tool, to think about how they can tailor that tool to their specific context, to their school and the access issues that they might have in their school, to their student population. So we really wanted it to be more collaborative and discussion based, because our survey showed that that's what teachers wanted. They didn't want to just be talked at. They wanted to be told how to use it and then given a chance to practice it for trial and error. So we, as I said, we had eight different sessions. Participants were asked to choose three sessions that they were very interested in, and those were the sessions that they participated in. So again, very responsive to their needs. The results showed that they really appreciated that collaborative piece. So they liked not just hearing about the tools, but being provided opportunities to talk about it and say, oh, this is how I might use this. Okay, so the example for assessment, the session showed examples of how to assess using Flipgrid. So how to assess letter name knowledge using Flipgrid. Well, if I'm in third grade, I might not be focusing on letter name or letter sound knowledge, but how could I tweak this so that it's more fluency based or sight word based? So they appreciated that collaborative piece. And in fact, we were, it was suggested from quite a few participants that we have other workshops like this, because they found it super, super valuable. Some of the responses pointed to feeling more prepared heading into the 2020-2021 school year. Easing of anxiety. They really appreciated all the resources that were shared. They also gave us some suggestions for future workshops, like expanding grade levels, talk about more ideas related to older grades, thinking about writing across the curriculum. So I would say overwhelmingly, they really appreciated the sessions and what they learned, and that they could now take it into their own classrooms and apply it with their students.
All right. One last question I may want to ask is, considering that most classes are back in person and this research was done when most classes were remote, do you think the findings and the results that you got from this research, do you think they're still very relevant currently?
Absolutely. I think in my own experience, my own teaching, I'm still teaching via Zoom or hybrid. And the students prefer that as well. It's something that it's their preferred learning style. So I'm doing a lot of things that remotely, but also it's during the pandemic, we were reactive. And I think this way now, if there's a second wave, we're better prepared. And so we're proactive. So I think some of those strategies and assessments, strategies and tools can still be used in the classroom setting. We found that students were more engaged, and that now that teachers are more comfortable using these tools, I think it'll be a lot easier for them to just seamlessly embed that into their instruction so that they're meeting a diverse range of students' needs and learning styles. So they started with, you know, anxiety and discomfort, and I think now they're more comfortable using those tools. So even if they are in the classroom, they can still use the same strategies. Tools.
Can I just add one more thing to that? In conversations with administrators in districts recently, asking what we can do at my university to continue to prepare our teacher candidates, overwhelmingly the response has been, this type of instruction is not disappearing. So we really need to prepare our teacher candidates for snow days that will probably disappear moving forward, for more cyber type of environments. And as Dr. Chomp mentioned, like this is helping us in person as well, because engagement increases. There are ways that you can use these tools in person in brick and mortar situations that continue to support. And also recognizing that professional development needs to be responsive to the needs of its teachers. I think that's a major takeaway from this study.
Thank you both for speaking with me today. Are there any other things you would like to say to our jolly audience before we go? Thank you, Dr. Chemba and Dr. Rosemary, for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Listeners, to read this manuscript, check out Jolly for 2021 issue to be published in December 2021. Thank you all.